Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
What a week in St. Andrews. Welcome to the grill room. Alex Maselli and I are here at the Old Course for the 144th Open Championship, and what a week it has been.
Well, Bob, it was surprising. I mean, I told you off air before we started, it wasn't the Johnson we thought it was going to be, and it certainly wasn't the Australian we thought it was going to be. But in the end, it's Jason Day not making the playoff, Mark Leishman making the playoff with Zach Johnson and Louis Oosthuizen, which is a guy that we all thought had a pretty good chance here at St. Andrews since winning in 2010. And then Zach Johnson, out of nowhere, talking to his caddy, Damon Green, he said to me, you know what, it was a very eerie feeling today, on Monday, very similar to the Sunday when he won at Augusta National.
Well, it was the 29th time the Open's been held here at St. Andrews, and St. Andrews always provides a great source for excitement and anticipation, and certainly this year was no different. This year's championship also gave us an opportunity to say a fond farewell to five-time winner Tom Watson, who crossed the Swilkin Bridge for the very last time.
You know, Bob, I think it's funny because obviously we said a fond farewell to Tom Watson. Really, actually, probably said a fond farewell to Arnold Palmer here this week in the Champions Challenge, Peter Thomson. I'm almost willing to say, and I know that you'll balk at this, we might have said a fond farewell to the British Open at St. Andrews to Tiger Woods, who now has fallen to 258th in the world. It would not surprise me if when we get back here, which we believe will be in 6 years, the 150th Open Championship, that Tiger Woods is back in Jupiter.
Could very well be. I can't argue that point. And if it is, it's because he chooses. Obviously, he's entitled to play in that event 6 years from now. If he chooses not to participate, that'll be Tiger's decision. The Grill Room is proud to be broadcasting where, Alex?
That's actually right, Bob. It's proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military, but also the veterans as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfBlot.com. Heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll have more from the Open Championship after this break.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Well, welcome back, Grill Room fans. We certainly appreciate you being on the other end of the radio. I'm Bob Bubka, proud to be sitting alongside of Alex Maselli here in the Media Center at St. Andrews. You know, there are Open Championships, and an Open at St. Andrews is just completely different.
It absolutely is, Bob. It's just a different feeling, a different vibe. You can see the golf course from so many different places, and it's just the excitement of coming to the home of golf that makes, you know, a trip to St. Andrews and an Open Championship so special.
And Mother Nature threw everything it could at the grand old lady here, trying to disrupt this championship. But in the end, we got a quality winner. I mean, what did we have during the week? We had floods where we saw sandbags at the entrance to the media center. We had winds at 40 miles per hour. Tents were being blown down. But ultimately, we got a great champion.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I don't know if it's about that as much as that I think that we got the champion that played the best this week. There's no question that Zach Johnson did everything that was required of him, dealt with the issues that we had in weather and so forth, and was actually the guy who really held his head up high, especially in the playoff, didn't make a mistake in the playoff.
Yeah, impeccable performance, especially on the first playoff hole where Louis Oosthuizen rolled in a long birdie putt, and then Zach Johnson stepped up to his putt, which was in the 20-foot range, and rolled it in right on top.
And then on top of that, then rolled in another one to take the advantage that he never lost on the second playoff hole.
Absolutely. When you start four-hole playoffs with birdie, you're going to be in good shape. Zach Johnson started the week with a 66, and he shot 66 on Monday. I was going to say Sunday, forgetting we've been delayed a day, but that is impressive bookends. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfBlot.com. Heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. 144 countries, 77 ships at sea. We'll hear from the 2015 Open champion and some of the late contenders when we return.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Ricky Fowler agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, we're back. It's getting late in the night here in the media center, but we do have our champion, and his name is Zach Johnson. Matter of fact, let's give a listen, Alex, right now to what our champion has to say.
You know, I played really solid and put myself in a position to make birdies and make a run. I knew the guys in front of me, like you said, those names, they're well accomplished, they're champions, they're not going to back down. I mean, I clearly had to be somewhat aggressive early on in the day because those outward holes are the ones you got to kind of take advantage of.
You know, Bobby, he was 9-under starting the day, 3 back of Louis Oosthuizen, and he was right. He went right after it early. Got a situation where he was very close, if not in the lead by the time he made the turn. And from then on, he kind of held on for a little while, got to 16-under, fell back to 15-under, then fell back to 14-under, but made a crucial birdie at 18 to get himself in the playoff. And then in the playoff, as we talked about, played very, very well.
It was very emotional birdie on that 72nd hole when he left the green. Excuse me. He just bowed over and pondered his accomplishments on what he got done. But a fantastic birdie on that 72nd hole. Somebody that's disappointed but certainly played well, got in the playoff. Let's hear from Mark Leishman.
Yeah, it was a big week. Obviously pretty disappointed at the minute, having a chance to win it and not being able to take it. But that's golf, unfortunately. There was 3 of us in the playoff and there could only be one winner. So yeah, I'm disappointed, but I'm happy with the way I played all week. Played great Thursday, Friday in the wind, and then played good the last 2 days.
Mark Leishman, could have been an Open champion, came ever so close. The third member of that playoff, Louis Oosthuizen, who won the Open Championship here, Alex, as you know, back in 2010, looked like he was going to get his second Open crown. It wasn't meant to be. Here's what Louis had to say.
I think I did really well getting in the playoff. I had four three putts today, but it was quite lengthy ones to start off, and I putted beautifully the whole week. I made good putts today. I made great putts coming in to be in the playoff, and so there's not much more that I could have done.
You know, it's amazing. Louis Oosthuizen probably hit the ball as well as anybody here this week.
Like he did actually in the U.S. Open. The difference was on Monday, just didn't make as many putts as he needed to make to go ahead and win this championship. I thought he played very, very well, but just could not make those putts. And he's the first one to admit that there were some putts that he left out there today. But, you know, it's going to happen over 72 holes. In fact, actually 76 holes, that's going to happen to someone. And in the case of Zach Johnson, it didn't happen as much. In the case of Louis Oosthuizen, it clearly did, and it cost him a championship.
It's kind of ironic, Alex, we're talking about putts. Jordan Spieth came here looking to, create some more history, trying to duplicate the feat of Ben Hogan back in 1953, winning the first three majors of the year. And had it not been for a four-putt on the par 3 eighth hole, Jordan Spieth would be our 2015 Open champion.
Yeah, and he, when he flies home tonight, which I'm sure he will, he is going to be thinking about some of the mistakes he made down the stretch, probably very similar to some of the thoughts that Dustin Johnson had on that Sunday at Chambers Bay, when all he had to do was two-putt on the final hole to get into a playoff. And I'm sure both of those guys would have been kicking themselves the same exact way on that night after.
Before we listen to Jordan Spieth, I want to compliment him on a couple of points. Number one, he was one of the first people out there to shake the hand of Zach Johnson. I really admired that. And he was very kind and gracious to the media, standing and asking questions for quite some time. Let's listen now to the winner of the Masters, winner of the U.S. Open, came up short here at the Open Championship. But Jordan Spieth, nevertheless, had a good week.
I don't know how many guys have won three majors in a year. I'm sure there's only been a few. I know Tiger's done it, and I'm sure Jack has. I don't know that, so that would be the next goal as far as the history goes. Sights set on the PGA Championship. It won't hurt too bad. It's not like I really lost it on the last hole, and 17 was brutally challenging. I've made a lot of the right decisions down the stretch and certainly closed plenty of tournaments out, and you know, this just wasn't one of those, and it's hard to do that every single time. So I won't beat myself up too bad, because I do understand that.
Which is why the Grand Slam is so hard to win, isn't it, Bobby?
Well, we got a good indication of that. One of the amazing aspects of the 144th Open Championship, on the final day, we had an amateur by the name of Paul Dunne leading from Ireland, an amateur leading the Open Championship after three rounds, a very rare sight indeed. He did not even end up, though, low amateur. Alex, you have who won.
Well, obviously you're giving it to me, because you don't know how to pronounce the guy's name either. Jordan,
you're right.
Nybrügge.
What'd you say?
Nybrügge, which I'm going with, wins the silver medal. He's from the University of Wisconsin. Well, no, he's from Wisconsin, but plays at Oklahoma State University. You know, great kid, slender kind of kid, can hit the ball a mile like all these kids coming up can, and congratulations to him. You know, there's a lot of disappointments, I think you could say, Bob, today on Monday. Jason Day certainly is a disappointment. Had a chance to get into the playoff, needed to make a birdie putt, didn't make a birdie putt down the stretch. I think Jason Day parred the last 13 holes. He needed to make just one birdie over the last 13, couldn't get it done. So you got to feel, you know, obviously one shot out of the playoff, you know, you're like, okay. But it seems to be a consistent theme for Jason, isn't it?
It does, but I think he has too much talent. I fully anticipate that at every major, for the foreseeable future, before it starts, you have to consider the name of Jason Day, in my opinion. Sergio Garcia going along smoothly for a while, Alex, didn't get the job done, still seeking his first major victory. Hard to imagine. This was the 66th major that Sergio Garcia has participated in, and still no victories.
Right, but I think he's showing that he's on his way back to where he needs to be, and that's what he wants. And I don't know what's going to happen at Whistling Straits. I'm not going to say that it is a golf course for him or not, but certainly Sergio is someone you have to think about now going forward. Adam Scott, I don't really know how you explain this, but for the last four Open Championships and three of them, he's had consecutive runs of either four or five bogeys on the final day in the final nine. That just doesn't get it done. And, I mean, it's not going to be as focused on here as it was at Royal Lytham when he was leading going into the final day. But you have to wonder what is wrong with Adam Scott when he can't finish, because finishing could have made the difference this week.
Absolutely, and a very talented and very nice person. The Grill Room would love nothing more to have Adam Scott one day be our Open champion. Patrick Harrington had it going for a while. Weather conditions were in his favor. Rainy, windy, cold. We thought maybe it was going to be a Harrington day.
Yeah, but a gorse bush caught him. And that made the difference, made a double, and that was that. Danny Willett played well this week, someone that most people don't know much about, the Englishman. And Justin Rose played relatively well as well, both top tens. I know Danny Willett is going to be wondering what he needs to do to win a major championship, because he got himself in position after 36 holes and then played poorly on Sunday, which was the third round. Obviously, being paired with Dustin Johnson shooting 75 didn't help. But, you know, you have to play all four, and you have to play them well.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfBlot.com. Heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And before we leave St. Andrews, we want to play you a little interview with Roger McSturvick, author and historian of St. Andrews. He has a new book out called St. Andrews, In the Footsteps of Old Tom Morris. You'll hear Bob's chat with Roger when we return. It's really very interesting.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of Old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Rory McIlroy agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Special guest joining us right now, and I'm excited. His name is Roger McSturvick, okay? And he's written a wonderful book. It's called St. Andrews in the Footsteps of Old Tom Morris. But he also is a master golf architect. He studied your master's and became a golf architect. And you're the perfect person. Before we talk about the book, I know for a fact so many architects have come to St. Andrews. They have studied it. They've tried to figure out what makes, you know, St. Andrews the ultimate in golf course. I'm asking you that question. What makes St. Andrews so special?
It's a mixture of things, and the same with every golf course. The history is just phenomenal. It really is. And in St. Andrews, it's in the air. You know, you stand on that first tee, and it's just it's a terrifying moment. You know, I read something that George Burr Sr. said, the most terrified he's ever felt in life was standing on the first tee in St. Andrews. So it gives you an idea of what it's really like. From an architect point of view, it is just sublime. You know, I've been here for about 10 years now, living here in the area, and I couldn't advise you on the greens. You know, what's uphill is downhill. You need to have a fantastic amount of skill. Your touch game needs to be just phenomenal. And yet on paper, you think, well, this is daft. The first hole has a 200-wide yard fairway. You know, why should people feel nervous? But people seem to be able to find the out-of-bounds frequently, you know. So it's a glorious course. It's special. Some of the golf holes are just absolutely magical. But with good golf design, it's not just about yardage. It's not just about, you know, it's about how it makes you feel. And St Andrews is just unique for that.
Well, I had an opportunity to glance through your book. I must say it's magnificent when I look at it. Once again, the title of the book, St. Andrews, In the Footsteps of Old Tom Morris. How did you come about the title?
Having lived here, you know, history is on every street. But there was no signage, you know. There really isn't. And you know, like North Street, for example, there's so many open champions. Within 50 yards of where Tom Morris lived, you have Jock Hutchison, who won in 1921. You have Tommy Morris, who lives in what is One Albany Place, but there's no plaque or anything, and this is like a four times open champion. So I was just finding all these things. I thought, well, if I'm interested, you know, other people might be interested. So, and the more I looked into it, almost every street in St Andrews either has an amateur champion, a US Open champion. It's just phenomenal. And so then I went into the archives in the RNA and the university, and just the findings there were just so exciting. And one of the most exciting ones was just pure serendipity, pure luck, really. One of the staff knew I was researching St Andrews, came over and said, we have this box, there's an old box, old dusty box called St Andrews Links. Nobody really knows what it is. And I opened it up and I nearly cried. I genuinely nearly cried. It was the original receipts to pay a carter to take the rubbish from St Andrews and dump it on the beach. Because the first fairway, which you may or may not know, was actually the beach. The beach would come up, and we nearly lost the 18th fairway. So they were kind of panicking around the 1830s, 1840s, saying we're going to lose our opening golf hole. So they paid a carter to come around, dump the rubbish, and then they covered it with soil and grassed it, and that's what created the first hole. But this was the receipts. This was just like Mr. Steele, you know, paid, you know, 2 and 6 pence or whatever it was, you know, just to come and dump the rubbish, which was just so exciting. And then also other things from the archive as well, just unbelievable. There's always been a gap in Tom Morris's life between 1848 and 1851. He sort of fell out with Alan Robertson, who was sort of business partner, his kind of boss, in the shop, and he started his own shop. But then the story picks up 3 years later, but in the university archives, there was another similar sort of box situation, and it was statements by everyone from the era saying, this is my name, this is where I live, this is my history of St Andrews, you know, and this was 1870, and this was people telling stories going back to before 1830, so it was just pure gold, you know. So it brought that whole era to life, and I was just so excited to be able to bring it out and people to read it and find out more about it.
You know, looking through this book, it's easy to see that it certainly was a labor of love. I mean, you kind of like put your heart and soul in this, and I can hear it in your enthusiasm, in your voice, which I truly appreciate. I mean, you know, to have passion over something like this, it, you know, it doesn't come along that often. Give me two or three. You touched upon a couple of things, but if I would ask you two or three things that people may learn by reading your book that will surprise them. Do you have any on the top of your head?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one obviously would have been the first hole, how it was created. It was actually reclaimed land. And what you'll see this week is people playing onto the first hole because that's flat, where if you hit it onto the 18th fairway, you could be, you know, uphill lie, downhill lie. The other thing is the 18th green, the back right-hand side of the 18th green, that's where the dead bodies are. That's where the cholera victims and the plague victims of the town were dumped. So when Tom Morris was making the 18th green, it was a little small green, exactly the same location, which is another key point as well, because people sometimes say it was way up the hill, but it wasn't. It's exactly the same location. But it was a small green, so Tom Morris was going to massively expand it, make the sort of nice plateau green that it is. But they found a load of skeletons. So and the greenkeepers, the guys he was getting to do the work, they were all terrified. because, you know, 150 years later, they were throwing people off Witch's Hill, you know, for being a witch. So they were still a superstitious bunch, you know. So, and Tom basically said, listen, if you want to get paid, you got to finish this green, you know. So they did, they finished the green. So if you're watching it on TV, or it's at the back right-hand corner of the green where you'll see it just rising up, that's where the dead bodies are.
Wow. I mean, that's just the appetizer of what you'll be able to learn if you buy this book. Speaking of buying it, can you buy it online?
You can do. You can buy it on thegolfbookshop.com. That's probably the easiest way for people to buy it. You know, okay. You can buy it there, and we can ship all over the world.
Fantastic. I thank you for stopping by. I don't know if I'm happy about the knowing the dead bodies are buried there. When I think of the sport of golf, more guys almost died on the 18th hole because they missed the putt. But at St. Andrews, it really is factual. Roger McStavick, thank you so much for stopping by. Once again, the title of the book, St. Andrews in the Footsteps of Old Tom Morris. I don't have to wish you luck with this book. This is a genuine treasure for anybody that likes the sport of golf. Thanks, Raj.
Cheers. Thanks, Bob.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of Old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Well, Bob, obviously, we want to thank Roger for the time. It's a very interesting book. There's a lot of what I like about the book is the photography that I had not seen before around the area, which, you know, it's very hard to find stuff that no one's seen before that follows this game and really is someone that really likes St. Andrews. But Roger's been able to do that.
I think the highest compliment that could ever be paid to Roger's book is the fact that Alex Maselli has not seen some of the photographs that are in there. Alex, a connoisseur of St. Andrews, loves the place dearly. We highly recommend you get a copy of that book.
Well, that's it from St. Andrews. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, and powered by GolfBlot.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and of course on our website, thegrillroom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, to Ion Loop, and thegolfblot.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, from the home of golf in St. Andrews, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.